reading is in two parts this morning. The first is headed David and Goliath, and it's at 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning the verses 1 to 9, and the second part is verses 41 to 50. David and Goliath. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soco in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Soco and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So
This is my friend Marilyn, who's about to speak to us about David and Goliath. And the good news is that she's ruddy and handsome, so it's fine. Let's pray for her. Father, we thank you for the gift that Marilyn is to us as a church family. We thank you for all the things that you are doing through her and in her and sowing for her. Lord, as she speaks this morning, would you light up her words with your truth? Light up her work, her efforts, her study with your goodness. And would you reveal to us more of the truth of who you are, that you are the awesome God. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. I'll just move this down a little bit because Goliath has been here. Okay, so this morning we're carrying on our series on what is in your hands. So we're looking today at what is in the hands of David as he faces Goliath. So I'll give you a bit of a background on David and Goliath in case you don't know who they are. So David was born in Bethlehem. He's from the tribe of Judah and was an ancestor of Jesus. He was the youngest son of Jesse and had seven older brothers. In this scripture, he's described as a boy, and from what I've read, it seems he was about 12-ish, so he's probably about my size. David actually becomes king later on in this book, but at this point, he is a shepherd boy. Goliath, he comes from Gath, which sounds delightful, doesn't it? Delightful place. He is a Philistine. He is very loud, all mouth, you might say. His main tactic is intimidation. He is huge. He has an intimidating presence, and his size is 6 cubits and a span, which seems to be 9.5 feet tall or more. He is wearing a bronze helmet. He has a coat of armor, and he has a javelin slung on his back. So this guy, he is a walking tank. He is relying on himself, his mouth, his size, and his strength. He is the enemy of the people of God. And he's a bit of a representation of the devil. He is seeking to terrify and bring into captivity those who belong to the Lord. So we've read a few bits of this chapter. So just to fill in the middle bit, David is a young shepherd boy who is in the fields. His father asks him to take some food to his brothers who are on the front line of a battle against the Philistine army. When dropping off the food, David sees Goliath come out and intimidate the armies of Israel, which Goliath does for 40 days. David offers to fight Goliath, relying only on what is in his hands with an almighty God by his side. So physically, what did David have in his hands? He only had a slingshot and 5 stones, and he used them skillfully. But physically, most things would have been against him. He has this man mountain that want to kill him and feed him to the birds. He also has the words of his older brother spoken in his ear. If you'd like to turn back to 1 Samuel 17, it's page 228, I think, of the church Bibles. 288, sorry, can't read my own writing. So verse 28 says, "When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked him, 'Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle.' So David's bro is not too pleased that his younger brother is expressing an interest in challenging Goliath, probably because he himself is scared of Goliath. David also has the words of King Saul spoken to him in verse 38. Saul replied, 'You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth.'" Saul points out the reality of what everyone would have been thinking. "You don't stand a chance, David. Look at the size of him and the size of you." King Saul also offers David his armor to wear in verses 38 and 39. David tries on the armor, but he chooses to go as he is with no means of physical protection. So physically, things aren't looking too great for David. Spiritually, what does he have in his hands? He has the most wonderful, precious, and amazing thing in his hands, and that is his knowledge of the Holy One. David absolutely knew the one to whom he belonged. So as soon as David saw Goliath, he was prepared. And I think this is such an important part of this story. David did not take one look at Goliath and say, actually, I ought to get back to my sheep. He didn't panic. He didn't call a prayer meeting. He saw how big Goliath was, but he knew that his God was so much bigger. Even though he only had a slingshot and 5 stones, he was ready for battle against the enemy because the most important preparation had already been done in the fields as a shepherd boy. David had spent time in the presence of the Lord and he trusted him. If we read 1 Samuel 17, verses 36 and 37, David says to Saul, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." David had already fought the lion and the bear in his role as protector of the sheep, and it was away from the crowds, in the quiet life of a shepherd boy, that David learnt to trust the God he loved and who loved him. It was there in the fields of Bethlehem that he had, by God's grace, killed the lion and the bear. And isn't that the way of God, that he teaches us in private so that we can serve him in public? There had been direct dealings between David and the Lord out in the solitude of the field, and it was there that David learnt to gain the victory. So when David faces Goliath, he is only living out of the overflow of his time in the presence of our majesty in heaven. It was David who wrote Psalm 23, and verses 1 to 4, if you'd like to turn there. Says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David absolutely knew the Lord. Their time alone was precious, it was real, and it was a preparation for all that was to follow. David's initial response when he saw and heard Goliath was, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" In other words, who does he think he is? Does he not know the God that I serve? The armies of Israel had forgotten who the living God was. They were so fearful of Goliath. He came out every day for 40 days to intimidate them. But David, he had not forgotten, and he was having none of it. David sees the issues clearly, whereas his brothers and the armies of Israel are blinded by fear. David's response as Goliath walks towards him shows us where his confidence came from, where his strength came from, and how certain he was of victory because he knew his God. 1 Samuel 17, if you'd like to go back there, verse 45 to 47. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for this battle is the Lord, and he will give all of you into our hands." So David, he does not waver. He uses what he physically has, a slingshot and 5 stones, and whatever we have in our hands, God will use it. The fact that David was a young boy who had no means of physically defeating the giant only brought more glory to God. David also has in his hands a history of being faithful in small things. He had been faithful in tending the sheep and protecting them. And we can see in verse 20 that when David is asked to take food to his brothers, it says, "Early in the morning, David left his flock with the shepherd." David took his role of being a shepherd seriously. He protected the sheep, and God uses him to protect the armies of Israel. God used this faithful young boy, and in his hands he placed victory. So what do we have in our hands to face the giants? Because this battle is age old, isn't it? This battle began in the Garden of Eden. And there is a conflict which, as followers of the Lamb of God, we are and must be engaged in. There is one enemy, and he is far more formidable than Goliath. And he still challenges the armies of Israel, the people of God. He still shouts, he still intimidates, and he still wages war. And if we want to hold the victory in our hands that God has won for us as we face the giants of this life, then that victory is only found in the quiet and secret place of prayer, in the presence of the King of Kings. It is there that we find the courage to face the giants of the day. Our amazing Saviour, he won a significant battle in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he won for us an eternal victory over evil. If you could turn to Matthew 26, verses 36 to 40, it's page 997 of the Church Bibles. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground. "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." The battle is won in the presence of the Father who is unseen. Time in the presence of the Father is a time of transformation, and the battle is won in private before we face the giants in public. After praying in Gethsemane, Jesus says, "Arise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." The battle is won. Jesus sets his face like flint, and he goes to the cross on our behalf so that into our hands will be placed untold treasures, so that we can come into the presence of a Father who loves us. And it is here in the place of prayer that we find the courage to face the giants. It is here that he reveals who he is, and that changes everything for a created human being. We have in our hands, every single one of us, an invitation to go into a room, close the door and pray. And it is there that everything changes. It is there that our hearts are softened. It is there that we learn to surrender. It is there that we learn to put his will above our own, to take up our cross daily. This is the place where we find courage. If you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 4. We'll read verse 13. It's page 1096. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. These men, Peter and John, they had been in the presence of Jesus, where they had found the courage to face the giants of the day. Time in the presence of Jesus, prayer is vitally important, because as we pray and spend time in his presence, our service for him is just an overflow of that. And we have in our hands, every single one of us, an invitation from the Saviour of the whole world that says, "Come closer to me." We have an invitation to know him, an invitation to come into his presence daily, to study his word faithfully, to allow him in, to trust in his name, to believe in his word, and to receive the love and forgiveness that he has for us, so that when the giants come, when there is this loud, roaring giant in your life who seems to be the size of a mountain and who shouts so loudly and is so intimidating that all you physically want to do is turn and run, spiritually, we can know that all that time spent in the fields as a shepherd boy, all that time spent in a room with the door closed, that time is not wasted, because we know the one who saves. We know that he is our God. We know that his name is the name above every name. And the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord and he is my God and he is on my side and he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And so we can face the giants and we can say, you come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Giants can present themselves in all different shapes and sizes. For all of us, it will be different. They can be fear. Feelings of worthlessness, feelings of being inferior, negative thoughts, anxious thoughts, overcoming the past, trying to gain trust again, financial worries, addictions. They can be all sorts of different things and will be different for us all. And it may not be a giant physically standing in front of us, but it shouts just as loudly. And these things, they are not easy, because they are what we face in the reality of the day. And for some of us, it's an ongoing battle. Sometimes we can face giants on behalf of others because they are unable to do it. When we watched the Alpha DVD this week, there was a mention of William Wilberforce. He used what was in his hands to face the giants of the slave trade. For years and years he battled until God gave him the victory and that particular giant was slain. And some giants, they don't fall immediately. We cannot hide from the giants because they just become bigger. We have to face up. And it is in the presence of God that we find all we need to face the giants, in the presence of the Holy One. And that is the highest privilege that is placed in created hands. Do we realize that walking with God is our source of strength? So just to finish, David, he had a slingshot and five stones. You have something. You have something in your hands that you can use to bear fruit for God's kingdom. He will use it. And we all have an invitation from the Savior that says, come closer. Come so much closer. And it is there in his presence that we soak up his love and his riches and his grace. And it is there and only there that there is treasure to be found.